Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle to be read today is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and encompass thee, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the account given in today's gospel is one of the most touching scenes recorded in the four gospels. It is our Lord standing on the hillside of the Mount of Olivet as he approaches the city of Jerusalem, and he begins to weep. To really appreciate why, you have to understand a few things. First of all, Jerusalem was among the most beautiful cities of the ancient world. Some scholars consider it to be one of the wonders of the East. In fact, one historian of ancient history described the city of Jerusalem in these words, a city girdled with towers and battlements, crowned with palaces that reached out to the east and to the west, as if bent upon displaying all her splendors before the beholder. In other words, it really was a most magnificent city. And according to the gospel, the route along which our divine Savior was advancing towards Jerusalem, as I mentioned, it climbed over the crest of the Mount of Olives. And from this point, the holy city suddenly rises in full view. And thus, when our Lord and the apostles were coming over the Mount of Olivet towards Jerusalem, the city suddenly rose in this magnificent view. And the disciples and the apostles, we can imagine, they marveled at it. They gloried in the splendor of the city before them. But as they gloried, our Lord was weeping. And his tears were not tears of joy. His tears were tears of sorrow and compassion. Sorrow because he saw the terrible judgment of God coming upon this blind and obdurate Jewish people. Christ saw the Roman general Titus almost 40 years later, the year 70 AD to be exact. And Titus's legions casting this enormous trench about the city and then beating it flat to the ground, just as our Lord had prophesied. He sees the glorious temple which was built for him in flames and its walls completely destroyed. He sees hundreds of thousands of people brutally massacred. In fact, it is said by the time the siege of Jerusalem ended in that year of 70 AD, it had started in 68 for almost 2 years. By the time it ended, over 1.1 million people were dead. And almost 100,000 who might have survived were taken into captivity. It was the end of the Jewish nation at that time. And thus, our Lord, seeing all this, while the apostles are marveling at the splendor and glory of their city and their people, our Lord is weeping tears of sorrow and tears of compassion for the people. He had previously said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered together thy children? As the hen does gather her chicks under her wings, but thou wouldst not." In other words, my dear friends, what more could the Lord have done for his chosen people? When you consider that the people heard his voice, he healed their sick, thousands of them. He cured the lame, thousands of them. He cast out devils from their bodies. He took the little children into his arms and pressed them to his sacred heart. He raised their dead to life. He preached in their temple. He preached in their synagogues. He preached in their hillside places. He instructed them. He warned them. And he even threatened them. And he threatened them not out of anger and wrath against them. He threatened them for their sake, so that he could break into their stubborn hearts. But Isaiah the prophet had foretold 700 years before, "The heart of this people has been hardened, and their eyes have been closed." You see, our Lord wanted to save them, but they would not have him save them. The message, then, in the gospel for us today is this: our souls have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Savior. They have been sanctified by his holy sacraments. And thus, our souls, every individual soul, can be likened to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is always called the holy city of God. And our souls are thus like to a holy city of God. And this is so, my dear friends, because as St. Paul says, at our birth, we have inherited the inexpressible riches of Christ. And by that he means by the sacrament of baptism, we have a right to go to heaven. By the sacrament of penance, that right to go to heaven is restored. If, God forbid, we should fall into mortal sin. And the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are able to be present at Calvary in a real and true but unbloody manner. And through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, among these inexpressible riches of Christ, our souls are sanctified by Christ himself. And as if this were not enough, our Lord gave us the sacrament of confirmation, whereby we receive the Holy Ghost, who bestows upon us an increase in sanctifying grace to strengthen our faith. Daily also does God offer innumerable actual graces. We hear that expression many times from the pulpit, I'm sure. Actual graces. Do we know what these things are? Actual graces, as the Catechism teaches, are temporary supernatural helps that are given to us by God to help us do the right thing, to help us keep his commandments, to help us believe his truths, to help us, when all is said and done, to save our souls. And these things God offers to us each day. He also gave us to be our mother and our protectress, his own blessed mother. And how, through her intercession, does she obtain for us so many of these graces and blessings from God? What more then, my dear people, what more could God do for us? Furthermore, when you consider, in this age of universal apostasy, in this age when so many have lost the one true Catholic faith, and so many live their lives as if God did not exist, that we have been blessed with this faith, that we still have it. In light then of all these great spiritual blessings, we really have to ask ourselves, how do we use the graces that God offers us? Are we indifferent to them? Are we careless? Or do we refuse his grace? And as a result, do we lose it? No one can be saved without the grace of God. But still, my dear friends, we must freely cooperate with that grace. In other words, God does not take from us our liberty to act. We have a free will, and freely we must choose to do what is right. Freely we must choose to keep God's commandments. Freely we must choose to avoid mortal sin. And temptations arise, we must freely choose to turn to prayer. The city of Jerusalem, my dear people, lived in the midst of the Savior. But Catholics live in the midst of the church and the sacraments. And down through the centuries, like the city of Jerusalem, there have been many Catholics who have rejected grace after grace. And the most dreadful thing that our Lord can say of a soul is what he said of the city of Jerusalem, but thou wouldst not. Thou wouldst not let me save you. And sad to say, but true, as Jerusalem would not let Christ be its Savior, so many down through the centuries did not let Christ save them. Our Lord offers the grace and the means to salvation to us, but he compels no one to accept it. In fact, some of you may be familiar with that painting of our Lord standing at a door and knocking. If you notice, the door has no knob or handle on the outside. The door opens only from within. And that door is the door to our hearts. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus knocks on that door to our heart, but he cannot enter into it unless we open the door to him. And it is our own free will that opens the door of our hearts to Christ. The Son of God made man comes to us as a beggar, seeking admission into our hearts. How we must strive to keep that door always open to him. If, therefore, in the past we have rejected him, if in the past we have caused him to weep over us as he once wept over the holy city of Jerusalem, let us, my dear friends, henceforth resolve always to give him admission to our hearts. And this we do by living our lives in the state of sanctifying grace, by striving to be patient and calm in the midst of difficulties and frustrations, by receiving the sacraments frequently, avoiding mortal sin and its occasions, and having confidence in the goodness and mercy of his Sacred Heart, even as we daily pray to Mary Immaculate for that grace to love God more than anyone or anything. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.